Welcome to the 175th episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly quiz cast where two professional quiz masters talk about how to write and host good pub trivia, as well as quizzing each other and our guests on our favorite questions of the week. I'm one half of your hosting team, Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by the one, the only, Mark Davis! It's Mark Davis! It's Quizmaster Mark! He's the Mark Davis!
I put my vest on,
Yeah, you look good, man.
Thanks.
That's a very tiny vest. They look like suspenders.
They are suspenders.
Oh, okay. Maybe that was the vest you
were
talking
about.
There
is no front. There is no back. There is only strips of vest.
Tiny vest!
Put my vest on, yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well. Had a bit of a weird thing happen at trivia recently. I was wondering if I could run it past you.
Let's
and see
talk
what you
about
thought.
This because we haven't talked about the nuts and bolts of trivia in a while. I'd say our trivias have been running pretty smoothly.
Yeah, I mean, I did have this one incident.
Well, let's talk about
and
it.
And it's similar to situations that we've talked about before, but of course, there was basically a revolt. You know, on an answer. Oh. And it was more against the way that the question was asked.
Okay.
So I wanted to get your opinion on it. No nonsense trivia. We take your category requests, write custom questions for you. The requested category was sea creatures. The question that I asked was, what apex predator is the most Instagrammed sea creature?
Great white shark.
Okay. The answer is polar bear.
Lee, come on.
Now, when I first saw this, I had similar questions. I had a vibe. I had similar questions, and I was like, my gut says, interesting. Let me look this up. Let me do a little research here. So I did. I opened up my Wikipedia, and I learned that polar bears spend most of their time on sea ice. That's where they spend most of their lives, on sea ice.
Oh, on top of ice.
Sea ice, in particular.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If I spend most of my time on a boat, it doesn't mean I'm in the water. I'm not a sea creature. I'm on top of something in the water.
Right. But it's not called, it's called a boat. You would be a boat person.
But I wouldn't be a sea creature.
Right. But sea ice implies that it is ice of the sea. And the polar bear lives on that ice. So wouldn't it be a sea creature?
No. It wouldn't be a fucking sea creature. A sea creature is something that lives in the water.
Is it?
Yes.
Or is it something that lives at sea? I mean, the polar bear spends a considerable amount of time in water, but most of its time on the sea ice.
No. This, I have a feel, I think you're like a werewolf. I feel like every like 3 months or so, you get your like trivia period where you want to throw a question out or have some kind of hot take.
That's rather misogynistic.
A 3 month period. Well, I'm just saying it's a thing that's recurring. Period is the first thing that I thought of.
All right.
Where you want to have some question that like will get people's blood boiling. Maybe biannually.
I mean, my instinct was this question is stuffy, and then sure enough, it's spicy. It's hot. Hot-tempered.
Here are the number of ways that this is a problematic question.
All right.
One, whether or not a polar bear is a sea creature. I would opine that it is not. Son of a bitch. Two, is most Instagrammed is very, like, there's so many problems with that because polar bears could be photographed but not tagged, could be tagged with different names.
I think it was by hashtags.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I mean, like, hashtag polar, hashtag tag bear, hashtag white bear. Like, I mean, people can tag it in different silly ways or calling it different silly names. Like, if you hashtag glizzy and hashtag hot dog and combine those together, you probably have more things than if you just hashtagged one or the other, because there are different things that you can hashtag to name something. And I mean, then you just, I mean, I guess what you'd have to do is,
but don't we have to,
according to this listicle,
right,
blah 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 blah. But even then, the fact that you're calling it a sea creature, you're just taking it out of the reach of anybody who is trying to sus, because it's not a sea creature.
Yeah, this does say, now that I'm looking at this list, it says Instagram marine animals. But the polar bear still lives on sea ice. In my
I'm not doubting that.
In my mind, that still makes it a sea creature.
That is a very bad mind.
I get the heat. I get the heat. There's probably like 1% of listeners that agree with me, but
at least two people have driven off the road because you've said this.
I understand the gripe, but I wanted to run it past you, you know, just to see. And I also, you know, I told these players to just get them off my back for a little bit. Like, look, I'll run it past Mark and he can give me the shit on the podcast, you know, in your stead. So shit taken. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, delivering that. No problem. It's well deserved.
All right. Well, we have a Manu e Manu episode today. We're going up head to head
with Manu.
No, Manu e Manu.
Mano e Manu.
That's yeah. But I thought we do a little play because of our Patreon supporter Manu. And oh, okay. Manu.
Well, that's why I was kind of confused. Yeah. Like, is something we have?
Of course,
with
Manu? It's Mano e Mano.
Okay.
But I'm just saying for us, for it's our Manu show, Imanu. We call it Manu e Manu in honor of Manu.
Of course.
Yeah.
Manu, our listener, and Manu Ginobili, hit basketball player for the San Antonio Spurs.
More our listener. But okay. Yeah.
Two of him.
Yeah. But before we get to our head-to-head quiz, how about we go over our weekly wrap-up? On Wednesday, October 27th, we were at Point de Belle Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for our first no-nonsense trivia nightmare. Team Yikes, almost with the clean sweep if it weren't for Hot Dot picking up the round 3 leader prize. In third place overall, Christopher Christofferson with 42 points, like that team name. Hot Dot in second place with 58 points, and Team Yikes with the overall victory, securing 87 points. On Thursday, October 28th at Ollie's Pub, we had our second no-nonsense trivia nightmare. There was an entire team of Quizmaster Lees in attendance. Quizmaster Lees, Wicked Bad Bitches and Hombres, complete with hats, glasses, and aloha shirts. They did me the honor. They put a big smile on my face. Very fun to see. We'll post a link in the show notes to a photo of that in case you're interested. Cock Nuggets in third place, 69 points, of course. Mm-hmm. 69 points, Mark.
Nice.
Shiba Inu Illuminati, 97 points. And Just the Tips winning the evening's quiz with 101 points, making them now the overall leaders at Ollie's Pub. Very impressive. Mark, how did your teams do at the 7th anniversary trivia at Nice Guys Pizza?
Boy, howdy. What a party it was. We had 25 teams. I'm pouring through all these friggin' answer sheets, and my fucking head is spinning. The first round, right off, we had a fucking tie with Keep the Cash, We Want the Briefcase. Of course, a briefcase full of $501 bills was the first round prize.
First round prize?
Or the prize.
The evening's prize, yeah. It's like, whoa.
First and round. Don't Pin My Balls, tying with 19 points. And Keep the Cash, We Want the Briefcase, winning that first round. In the second round, Shiba Inu Illuminati, the only team to get the last question of the second round correct. The last round, with a stunner, we had our winning team consisted of Seth, Jamie Carmichael, Fletcher, and Kristen. She's Got a Gun to My Nards, winning with 82 points.
Wow. All right.
So fantastic.
Yeah, congratulations to them.
Yes, we had my friend Vanessa playing on Zoom for the first time, and Whiskey Tango finishing up with 48 points. So two teams get the last question right. Shiba Inu Illuminati, and She's Got a Gun to My Nards. Shiba Inu Illuminati, unfortunately, having a tough third round, and that's where She's Got a Gun to My Nards ended up making their way, getting their picture taken with Greg and that briefcase of cash.
Yes, congratulations to them. Indeed. And thanks to all the teams that came out to our events this week. Mm-hmm. If you missed it and you'd like to join us next week, this week, we've got a few opportunities for you to do so. This Wednesday, we're live at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida, for No Nonsense Trivia Challenge based on your category requests. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. That's at Point Ebel on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. On Thursdays, we're at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for a weekly quiz based on your category requests. That's also at 7:30 p.m. We hope that you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's Thursday at 7:30 p.m. And, of course, every week in Cape Coral, on Wednesday, you can play Mark's Trivia at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom. That starts at 8 p.m. Just look for the link in the show notes to that. And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you?
How are we so intrinsically linked?
I don't know. We both just decided to go, hi.
I know. Tonight. All right. It's like playing rock, paper, scissors. You're trying to like get in the other person's mind. Then you psych yourself out. You go, I'm going to go high. No, he expects me to go high. I'm going to go low.
I'm playing scissors.
Yeah.
Rock. Does anybody ever play scissors with total confidence?
No.
Impossible. No. Impossible. All right. Let's take a quick break. And then we'll be right back with our first round of trivia. All right, we're back. Mark, I have a question about airplanes to kick off round one.
Damn.
How's your airplane knowledge?
Not great.
Not the movie.
I'll be going on one soon.
Yeah.
So maybe I should get better.
You're going to L.A.
Going to, yeah, not Louisiana.
Nope. Los Angeles.
Indeed.
I hope you have a great time.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it. Going to see Hollywood Handbook live.
Woo! I know I'm you're
waiting
excited.
For this moment my whole life.
Right on. What was the name of Wilbur and Orville Wright's powered aircraft named for a nearby location where their first flight took place in 1903? Their first powered flight.
This I might know.
Okay. Yeah, they had several glider flights before this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's not this, then I don't know it. I can't think of anything else would be, but it's the name of the place. It's in South Carolina or North Carolina. I confuse the two all the time and I catch a lot of shit for it. I think you're already ready with the ding, ding, ding.
Well, I mean, if you get it wrong, I can just shift my
okay.
hand over.
Kitty Hawk.
Yes, that's right. A Kitty Hawk flyer. Yep. Named after Kitty Hawk, a town in Dare County, North Carolina, which is part of the Outer Banks. It actually took place in a nearby location that's now known as Kill Devil Hills, which is another town about 4 miles away from Kitty Hawk. But Kill Devil Hills did not exist when they undertook their flight in Kitty Hawk. The Wrights chose the area because its frequent winds and soft sandy surfaces were suitable for their glider experiments, which they conducted over a 3-year period prior to making the powered flights. And yes, in North Carolina.
Come on and raise up. Take your shirt off. And spinning around your head just like a helicopter.
Yeah.
Petey Pablo. Petey Pablo. Very Petey good. Pablo. That's my question.
Oh, nice. All right. Moving on.
Hey, how about a little art?
Sure.
You like art?
I do. I enjoy it. Yep. Well, I mean, yeah, for a little bit, but yeah,
I enjoy this. It. Mm-hmm. What French post-impressionist artist was living with Van Gogh when he famously cut off his ear?
Post-impressionist artist.
He's studying French, himself.
You said?
Yes.
I think it might be a guy who did a lot of printmaking and also
Andy Warhol.
Some Art Nouveau as well. Not Andy Warhol. He precedes him.
Mm-hmm. By a bit.
That'd be cool if Andy Warhol was like a time traveler, though. Like, yeah, I just traveled through time.
If anybody was going to be.
I came here for the Whopper. I believe it might be an artist who appears in the Baz Luhrmann film Moulin Rouge, portrayed by John Leguizamo. Toulouse-Lautrec.
That's incorrect.
Is it Gauguin? It's Gauguin.
It is Gauguin.
Oh my God. What the fuck? Paul Gauguin. Should have paid more impression to the post impression. I was like thinking, well,
paid more impression?
Yeah, exactly. I should have paid more impression to the post attention.
Wow. I thought that was going to be a shoe in for you.
I knew that too. I don't know why.
Got into a big fight.
I just had to do one of those meandering susses that turned out to be wrong, I guess. That I'm sometimes known for.
Hey, it happens.
All right, Gauguin. All right, planets.
Okay.
Planets. Which planet has the most moons? With 82 total as of this year, 2021.
Jesus.
82 moons.
Well, Mercury and Venus, no moons. Earth, one moon. Mars, maybe one moon, two moons. Red moon, blue moon. My very educated mother. Just Jupiter, Saturn. Both very obvious choices. Uranus. Neptune. I mean, Saturn and Jupiter being so big, you'd think they'd probably have more moons. I remember being kind of surprised that Uranus had as many moons as it has. Saturn is the gas giant. I'm going to go with Saturn.
That is correct.
Yes.
Very good, Mark. Yes. That only counts the objects with confirmed orbits that are not embedded in its rings. It has several moonlets, even more than the 82. But interestingly, the largest, Titan, represents 96% of the mass in orbit around Saturn. Titan is actually larger than the planet Mercury, by the way. The sixth next largest constitute 4% of the mass, and the remaining small moons account for only 0.04% of the mass. So large in number, but the mass distribution is heavily weighted towards the moon Titan.
Hmm.
So that's a scoop on Saturn.
That is very good. Quite a friggin' scoop. You want a music question?
I do.
What band has released such albums as Flick of the Switch, Ball Breaker, and most recently, Power Up?
Okay. Well, I actually listened to Power Up. So
did
I do
you
know the answer to this?
That I thought you might know this.
AC/DC.
That's correct.
Yep. Yeah,
there's current to direct current.
They're still making pretty much the same style of metal that they made in the 80s.
Would you call them metal?
I would call them, I think we might have had this conversation on the pod before.
I think
before.
We might have. I would call it hard rock.
I would call them hard rock by today's standards. But I just feel like at some point they were considered a metal band and they should be recognized as maybe classic heavy metal.
Interesting.
Know, based on their former recognition as heavy metal,
because they live on sea ice.
Yeah. See, that's the way my brain operates, man. So I think this brain is exactly, it's pretty similar.
Okay.
You know, but, let us know on Discord. That's a great place to chat with the group, the listeners, and us.
The hot Jelly Beans episode getting a lot of love.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be doing that every.
Cracking up.
Yeah, I don't think we'll be doing that every episode, but I wouldn't mind returning to the spicy jelly bean format again at some point.
Yeah, someone said to do the bigger jelly bean. I'm not doing that, but the hot jelly beans I would do again.
I noticed I tagged you in that discussion. You didn't even respond. You were like, "I'm not even going to show up and say no. I'm not going to do an argument about this.
I'm not even going to give this a response," because people will be like, "Come on." I'll be like, how many times do I have to tell you no?
Geography. Okay. My last question for you. Which is the only U.S. state to share a land border with three Canadian provinces?
It's got to be something weird. It's either a really long state like North Dakota. I'm so bad at geography, Lee. It's like, is Wyoming up there? I know North Dakota is because North. Michigan is up there, and there's two parts of Michigan, right? The Upper Peninsula.
The Ooper.
Ooper Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's something that like maybe small, but it just happens to be like the three like little pieces touch. Wyoming? It definitely wouldn't be Washington or Oregon. No, which one's all the way at the top? That's how bad I am.
Oof.
I know. It's California and then one or the other and then the other one. I think Washington's all the way up there.
I'll give you one of those. A light one of those for that.
Yeah.
It's not the answer to our question, but.
I guess I'm just going to go with North Dakota.
No, Mark. The answer is Montana.
Montana's all the way up there, huh?
Yep. Damn. And very long.
Sick.
Very long. British Columbia, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. The Damn. Territories or provinces that Montana borders. The only state to border three.
Here's your last question. Dogs.
Okay.
Dogs. What are the four varieties of poodle based on size?
Giant poodle.
I'll tell you that one of them is not universally recognized, but Wikipedia lists four.
Based on size?
Yes.
All right. So this is. Hold on. I have to take a call here.
Okay.
I'll put it on speaker. Seth, you're on speaker on the no-no.
Are you really recording right now?
Yes, we are. How you doing,
buddy?
Oh, my
God. What's going on?
I told him we were recording tonight.
Oh, okay.
You did tell me you were recording tonight, but I was. Oh, man. I was calling for different reasons. What's going okay. on?
Not much. Just read and mark a question here. Or no, I'm answering a question.
What's the question?
What four types of poodles are there based on size?
Four types of poodles based on size.
Seth is going to jump in.
Let me see. There is standard. There is miniature.
Wait. There's... Did you already hear this question at trivia?
No.
Okay. All right.
I wasn't at last.
Okay, just double check.
So standard, miniature,
yep,
toy,
giant.
And I'm thinking maybe it goes in the opposite direction because they have this thing, they have like a teacup chihuahua. Maybe there's a teacup poodle.
I think there's a giant poodle.
Okay, so we'll go giant, standard, miniature, and toy.
That's our answer.
Is that our answer?
That's incorrect.
Ooh.
Standard, medium, miniature, medium. And toy.
Standard and medium?
Yes.
We should have split the difference, Lee.
The medium is the one that is not universally recognized. So I'll give you a little bit of a ding, ding, ding.
All right. I'll take a little bit of
light rock.
Listen, I was going to ask you something about a future episode, but I'll let you go back to doing what you guys do.
All right. Thanks, bud.
Talk to you soon. Sorry I couldn't help more.
Sounds good. That's all right.
Later, bud.
Bye.
All right.
Well, a guest appearance there.
There you go. Sometimes it happens.
I mean, we don't, condone calling a friend, but if a friend calls us, I mean, and it's Seth.
What can you do?
We're going to take it. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's 3-3. I'm surprised that the standard and medium, like, is one larger than the other? Is the standard, like, big?
It's in order of size, so this medium is a little bit smaller than standard.
Oh, okay. I know that the poodle can get big. I mean, I don't think like Great Dane big, but that's why I thought there might be a giant poodle.
Yeah. All sorry.
Right. All good. Okay. Well, that's round one.
And what a round it was.
It was pretty quick.
What a rush. Didn't you used to say that a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. At our no-nonsense trivia nightmare, too. Max and Elise came as gender swapped Macho Man and Elizabeth.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. And apparently that was a last minute idea to gender swap them. So they were literally wearing each other's costumes that they had picked out for themselves.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But hot damn, they pulled it off.
Very good.
Yep.
All right. Take a break.
Come Let's back.
Do it. Yeah. Corrections. No notes.
I'm sure we can find something to read.
We'll dig something up to make ourselves look stupid. But then, as we're all waiting for a wonderful second round
of fresh trivia. right, we're back, and we have some no notes here. I mean, we haven't had a straight up no note section in a while. Didn't we do that? Didn't we sing no no?
We've done everything.
We've done everything under the sun at this point.
Yeah, we have.
And these aren't even proper no notes. I just thought we could just flip through our
that podcast. That only deserves one of us singing it.
Discord here. Get in the convo, folks. We learned that Nabil just installed a Murphy bed. He believes that it is a pivot style. Asked him about that. We had some commentary here about our Muay Thai question. Adam suggesting the movie Ong Bak, a classic Muay Thai film from 2003 with Tony Ya. I think I saw that when it came out, but I haven't thought about the movie in so long. Have you seen that?
No.
No? He says it's good.
I've heard good things.
Yep. And of course, a lot of McRib love for Mark. So why don't you hop on the Discord, folks, and join us there. We'd love to chat with you. And of course, if you have a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no-note you want to send to us via email, you can do that at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media.
Find us. Look around wherever social media is sold. Is that how that works?
I'm sold to somebody. I don't know who's profiting. It ain't us.
How about a little movie trivia?
All right.
What 1988 movie found both of its stars opting to take 20% of the film's box office returns instead of their usual pay, resulting in them receiving the biggest paychecks of their film careers?
88. And you said it's two stars?
Yes.
Okay. So not two of its stars, but it's two stars, implying that there's...
the two main stars.
Yeah. I think that's too early for Wayne's World. 88.
We need to make a make of Wayne's World and call it Wayne's World. And have two of the Wayans brothers play Wayne and Garth.
All right.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's good. I'm down. I'm down for a watch.
I'd watch it. Keenan Ivory is Wayne Campbell.
I say what you will about those, like, you know, parody movies that came out, but I think the scary movies are really good.
Oh, yeah.
Those are hilarious.
They really are.
They're
no Naked Gun.
No. But, you know, I mean, I don't want to say that it's as good, but I kind of want to say it's almost as good. I mean, the Zucker brothers and the Wayans brothers, they both, can you have the Wayans brothers, you know, without the precedent set by the Zucker brothers, though?
No,
you can't.
You certainly cannot.
They're entertaining, though. I don't want to. I just don't want to take anything away from.
No, absolutely. You know. And we shouldn't.
Yeah,
you're right. I apologize.
Was it Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan in Sleepless in Seattle, or Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan and When Harry Met Sally? I'm thinking of duos. 1988. No genre to go on. I don't know this fact about them. You said they took 20% of the box off instead of their usual pay?
Yes.
So this is a big movie. Terminator 2 was in the ninth. Terminator? Gosh, this is like, this is going to kill me because it's going to be a huge movie, whatever the answer is. Let's see here. The Rocky movies are like the late 70s. Star Wars is earlier. Beetlejuice. Just like naming movies right now.
Every movie under the sun.
88. I was 3. Batman came out in 89. Tim Burton. Too early for Quentin Tarantino. Man, I'm just going here. I'm just going through every freaking director. I can't do this to you, though. I can't do that. I can't do this to you.
Do you want
and
me
I
to
can't...
give you a minute timer?
No, I just got to. I think I've exhausted my time here. I'll go with Terminator.
Sorry, that's incorrect. Wrong. When Harry Met Sally, 1989.
Okay.
What was the other guess that you made Sleepless. Initially? Sleepless in Seattle was 93.
Okay. I don't even remember the first one I threw out.
Or Sleepless in Seattle, yeah, 93.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Terminator, I can't even remember. The first Terminator was maybe around 88. The correct answer is Twins.
Really?
Twins.
Oh.
Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger taking okay. a big had All a right. lot of belief mm-hmm. that the movie was going to do well. A lot of people thought it was going to tank. And it went on to be a commercial success. They both just opted to take 20% of the box office and just swept up.
Wow.
There you go.
Did I hear a rumor that they're making a new one?
They're making another Twins with they've had a couple of different
third twin
people on the hook.
Triplet. I guess that's what you would call it, right? Triplets.
I think it's going to be called triplets, possibly.
If they call it Twins too, that would be fucked up because a third twin is not a twin. It's a triplet.
Yeah. I don't really know.
Don't ask me about sea creatures. I know this though.
Tracy Morgan.
Yes.
Is set to be the third, which is perfect.
100% for it.
Especially
I've never seen Twins.
Really?
Yeah.
It's good.
It's one of those classics that I missed, you know?
Yeah. It's a 43% fresh. So, you know, it's good.
I realized the other day that, I was like watching some scenes from movies for trivia, you know, going through like different scenes and stuff on YouTube. And I've always thought that I'd never seen Stand By Me, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it. I was like watching scenes from it. And I'm like, I remember the pie eating contest. I remember this dog scene right here. So I'll have to replace that with Twins when people say, what's a classic movie that you've never seen?
Yeah, there's some out there that I know I haven't seen that I should have seen or that I saw, but I may as well not have seen because it's mm-hmm. been so long, you know?
I feel like Twins and Junior are the Arnold movies that I missed somehow. Like, I should have, like, a movie marathon with those two.
Yeah.
A doubled feature, if you will.
Yeah, there you go. And now you can watch Triplets, too.
Languages. My first question around two for you. Caribbean countries, Aruba, Curacao, and Sint Maarten all list what language as an official language?
One more time.
Caribbean countries, Aruba, Curacao, and Sint Maarten all list what language as an official language?
As an official language?
Yes.
Well, those names definitely drum up a lot of ideas of different languages. These are the only three out of those that list this language as an official language?
Not in the world, no.
Okay.
But they all have it in common. They have their native language, and then this is the other official language.
Sint Maarten as M-A-A-R-T-E-N. It has a very Danish feel.
That's how you spell it, yes.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It makes me want to say it's probably Dutch or something like that. The Dutch fucking, well, we know what they've done to some places.
We know what they've done.
We know what they've done. So I'm inclined to say Dutch. I've never been to any of these places. Aruba, Sint Maarten,
and Curacao. And
Curacao. See, Curacao screams French to me because it's got the C with a little weird thing on it.
It's got a little Teletubby thing going on.
It does.
An inverted Teletubby.
Is that a French thing or is that a Dutch thing? I'm going to say Dutch.
That is correct.
Yes! I didn't overthink it.
Well sussed.
I was really starting to get in my own head, and I was like, stop it immediately. Stop thinking French. Stop thinking other things.
Yes, all our constituent countries of the Kingdom of the Netherlands.
Oh, man. I'm so glad. I just can't tell you how overjoyed I am that I didn't suss that too much. What does FEMA stand for?
I believe that FEMA stands for the Federal Emergency Management Administration.
That's incorrect.
Oh, no.
Wrong. I was waiting to see if you were going to suss anymore, but you just sat there. Federal Emergency Management Agency. Agency.
Oh. All right. Well, I'll remember that next time. Breaking Bad. I'm treating you here.
Oh, okay.
On Breaking Bad, which book of poetry by Walt Whitman was gifted to Walter by fellow cook and chemist Gale and later led to Hank figuring out Walt's secret identity?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, the Walt Whitman... If it was a book by who, I would have gotten that.
Oh. Okay.
But what's the name of the book? I don't know. So I'm going to say something funny.
Fair enough. Best worst answer.
I'm going to say My Big Fat Balls by Walt Whitman.
Wrong. No, the answer is Leaves of Grass.
Okay. Very close.
Leaves of Grass. Interestingly, I mean, this kind of, you wouldn't really call it his like masterpiece, but Leaves of Grass, kind of Walt Whitman's life's work. It was first published in 1855. Whitman rewrote and revised Leaves of Grass throughout his career, resulting in at least six distinct versions published over four decades. The first being a small book of 12 poems, the last version of it containing over 400. So I'm not sure which version Gale gave Walt. I don't know if it was the 400 poem version. It's quite a hefty one to leave in your
probably
toilet.
Probably that one.
You know,
with the kind of money they were all making. Yeah.
That's where it was, right? It was on
you
the
don't
toilet.
Skimp on them. Yep.
Yeah. Perfect reading.
When he sat down on the toilet. Yep.
I wish they would have put
I'll
a fart sound
that
effect
look on his face.
Right after he makes the realization.
He makes that face.
And then the credits roll.
What if it was no music over the credits? It's just the credits rolling and it's here.
I got that son of a bitch.
God. Because you got to think that like finding that out has some kind of effect on your guts, right?
Well, he was there to do his business anyway. So
yeah,
the heat is on. The heat is on.
Do I have one more for you?
Do you?
There's no time to be careful. We're late. Was the first line said by what cartoon character? I love the faces you make.
There's no time to be careful. We're late. My guess would be a character that's known for being late or concerned about being late, the White Rabbit in Disney's Alice in Wonderland, taken from Lewis Carroll's... Well, I believe the book is called Alice in Wonderland. Through the Looking Glass was the sequel. So the line was, there's no time to be careful, we're late.
Yes.
I mean, there's a ton of cartoon characters, but that's the one that comes to mind when I think about lateness, so I'm going with it. The White Rabbit.
That's incorrect.
Wrong.
Damn.
The correct answer is the Yellow Homer. Homer Simpson. Homer Simpson's first line. There's no time to be careful. We're late. Which is very fitting considering how poorly he runs the...
Is that on the show or is that on the Tracy Ullman shorts?
I believe the Tracy Ullman shorts.
Okay.
You ready for a break or what?
I still got one question for you.
Ooh, give it to me.
Okay. A psychology question.
Hell yeah.
Which part of the brain, which shares a name with a sea creature from Greek myth.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Is located deep in the temporal lobe and is responsible for memory and learning. In other words, Mark, what part of the brain is your mind palace located?
The polar bear. I'm going to sneeze. Is he going to? Maybe not.
Don't worry. Mark has a dedicated microphone.
I do. Dedicated.
Memory and learning. It's located deep in the temporal lobe.
Named after a sea creature from myth?
Greek myth, yes.
Greek myth. Interesting. I know this is bad, but I don't even want to suss this.
You're just feeling lazy about it.
I feel like, yeah, I feel kind of lazy about it. And I feel like I'm going to suss and I know I'm just going to get it wrong. Because Greek and Roman myth and stuff like that never works out for me.
Well, maybe you can go with the part of the brain.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking, well, there's the medulla oblongata. There's, I don't know which path I should follow down to not knowing it first. Should I think of parts of the brain that I don't know or sea creatures in ancient myth that I don't know? The Loch Ness. It's not an ancient sea creature from myth. That's real life.
Well,
it's real life. I said,
it's a cryptid. Debatable.
It's real life, I said.
I mean, it, as a concept. But
real as a concept.
Yeah. That's an idea.
It's a good question. Kraken? That's not a part of the brain.
It's in the water. That'd be awesome, because then we could be like, release the Kraken when we get an answer right.
In the temporal lobe. Jesus Lee. I don't know. I'm going to go with. I'll go with medulla oblongata.
No.
No.
The correct answer is the hippocampus.
Oh.
The hippocampus. In Greek mythology, the hippocampus has typically been depicted as having the upper body of a horse with the lower body of a fish.
Well, I didn't know that, but that's pretty fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I have definitely heard of the hippocampus.
And the hippocampus in the brain looks remarkably like a seahorse.
Hmm.
Let me see if I can pull up the picture here for you.
Please. Oh, yeah.
It's like almost identical.
Pluck that little fucker out and throw it in the water.
Right? From Wikipedia, the earliest description of the ridge running along the floor of the temporal horn of the lateral ventricle comes from the Venetian anatomist Julius Caesar Arronzi, who likened it first to a silkworm and then to a seahorse. The German anatomist Duvornoy, the first to illustrate the structure, also wavered between seahorse and silkworm. But there was also a third option. Ram's horn was proposed by the Danish anatomist Jacob Winslow in 1732, and a decade later his fellow Parisian, the surgeon de Guerangot, used Cornu Ammonis, horn of Amun, who is the ancient Egyptian god, often represented as having a ram's head. This has survived in abbreviated form as CA in naming the subfields of the hippocampus. So damn, there is a bit of a history on the name there. It was almost called the silkworm of the brain, I guess. And
not as nice.
Yeah, the ram's head kind of carries through actually in its naming convention. And just so you know, Mark, humans and other mammal have two hippocampi, one on each side of the brain.
Really?
I didn't know that. I thought it was one structure, but there's actually two of those bad boys.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Now I feel smarter for having known.
Two little seahorses in there that are the librarians of your mind palace.
They're like the twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it probably is this way with everyone. One's a Danny DeVito and one's an Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I think so. All right.
Now.
Yes.
Now we take a break.
Yes.
Now we feast.
Mm-hmm.
Then we come back.
Mm.
Are we going to rate a question?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's been forever. And then... last questions.
Mm. All right, we're back, and it's time for some Rate My Questions. Okay. First up, we have a call here from CJ.
Hey, Lee and Mark, this is CJ. I wanted to call and ask a Rate My Question for you guys. So I'll ask the question, wait a few seconds, and then say the answer. So here we go. What popular word, which is an oxymoron and a portmanteau, first appeared in print in the title of a 1953 article describing the relationship between America and Russia?
Ooh.
Okay. Did you get that?
I did.
What popular word, which is an oxymoron and a portmanteau, first appeared in print in the title of a 1953 article that describes the relationship between America and Russia? Now, there's like a term that's like, it's not strange bedfellows, but it's, which I think comes from like the phrase politics makes strange bedfellows, but there's like a, like kind something, like there's some term that describes them, but it's not a single word. And that's the important part here. It's an oxymoron and a portmanteau.
For listeners that don't know, oxymoron, two words that together seem like they are antithetical, like bitter, sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And then a portmanteau is two words that are put together to make one word, like brunch being a combination of breakfast and lunch.
Right.
So we're looking for a portmanteau that is at odds with both sides of it.
Yeah. It was the Cold War. Could we be talking about the popular medicated brand Icy Hot? Is that one word or is that two words?
That's two words.
It is?
Yeah.
Shit.
This is a great... This is a top-tier question.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know the answer?
I don't.
Okay. I thought you were playing coy. For a bit.
I have a guess, but I feel like it's pretty recent.
What is it?
Frenemies. That is a portmanteau and an oxymoron.
That's a great fucking guess.
But 1953?
I mean,
I thought that was like a 2000s era, you know, slang term.
Frenemies is a great guess. I don't know if I can come up with anything better. And I mean, just because we didn't start using it in the regular lexicon until later on, doesn't mean it wasn't used then.
Yeah.
I mean, portmanteaus alone are kind of hard to think of.
Mm-hmm.
Synergy. Not really a portmanteau necessarily, maybe.
What is synchronistic energy? Is that what synergy would be?
Maybe it's brunch.
Spy guys. Spy.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I keep going back to, you know, I mean, that is, and it describes the nature of the relationship.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, it just seems so.
I keep going back to friend, and I'm like, what goes with friend? That's like an enemy. Frenemy.
Yeah.
Let's go with it.
All right. We're going to go with frenemy.
All right. The answer is frenemy.
Hey.
Now, before I go, I just wanted to say congrats to Lee and Kyle Ann on the new addition to your family. Congrats.
Thank you.
Mark on getting the house, because I know how stressful that can be. Mm. And congrats to both of you. I mean, over 150 episodes. 3 years of the podcast and over half a million downloads. Mm. Very well deserved, guys. So thank you for that. And much love to y'all. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Thank you to CJ.
Thanks, CJ. Yes, congratulations on your bundle of joy that you welcomed in last year. Yeah. Hope everything's going good with that and your house.
Yeah, he came to us in dark times, I remember.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, CJ.
Yeah, glad to have you listen. Thank you.
Pibs.
A plus. I mean,
oh yeah,
A plus question. Great question.
Yep. Popular, interesting, built-in hint, and short and sweet. That's my Pibs system.
It's got it all.
It does. Let's see here.
Would you call it short and sweet? It's the only place where I could
see
it.
It's only as long as it needs to be.
I was going
to
say, it may not be short, but like the built-in hints are what's making it a little bit longer. This is a perfect question.
I would agree. I have to say this gets full Pibs.
Yeah,
full
this
Pibs,
is,
CJ. What popular
great.
Word, which is an oxymoron and a portmanteau? That's a great hint because it gets your brain working in that territory.
Indeed.
First appeared in print in the title of a 1953 article. How interesting is that?
Very.
1953. And it describes the relationship between America and Russia. If you have some sense of world history in the 20th century.
You gotta know. That war was so damn cold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, full Pibs.
Damn.
Good job, CJ.
Can we even rate another one? Is there any question that it would even compare?
Well, we do have one more call.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, yeah.
I'm back, baby. It's Jeopardy Man here once again. Mm. To ask you a question, Mark and Lee. But I've recently been, you know, going through some mental baggage with my therapist. He's really helped me realize that you guys aren't so bad, and I'd rather come back as a Jeopardy bro or a Jeopardy pal.
Jeopardy bro.
Not so much a rival, but a friend.
Okay, Jeopardy pal.
It all started when Mark called me a Jeopardy bitch man.
Jeopardy bitch man? Did you say that?
I don't know.
But I'm moving past it. I forgive and forget.
Sorry
about that. So I'm here with a rate my question. Let's see here. Let me refer to my notes. Here we go. What is the palindromic term for the dots on dice? Yes, that's right. The palindromic term for dots on dice.
What is the palindromic term for dots on dice?
Do you know this?
It's pips, right?
Well, it would be pip. Yes.
Right. A pip. That would be
spips.
It wouldn't be spips.
Yes.
Hold on. I think we have the answer here. Should know better at this point.
Okay. The answer is pips. They're called pips. Now, see you later. Are you? Close this.
Okay, you can't end the call. Thank you, Jeopardy bro. Jeopardy pal?
Jeopardy man.
We can still call him Jeopardy man. Man does not equate rival.
No.
You know?
Absolutely not.
There's no need to.
Unless Jeopardy
you,
bitch.
You know, let us know, though. Yeah, if you have a preferred name, you can always let us know. You know, what to call you. We'll respect that. Pips. What is the palindromic term for the dots on dice? Pips. Now, Mark, you are very eager to rate CJ's. Would you like to go first here as well?
Yeah, this is fine. I'll give it an A. I'll give it an A.
Okay.
You know, it's maybe a little too easy to me, but that may just be a me thing. So I'm not going to give it an A minus. I'll give it an A.
All right.
Fine question.
I'm going to give this a lowercase PIS. Piss. Yeah. Popular. It is kind of a stock trivia question. Yeah, I feel
it, like, absolutely.
This is like,
but isn't that the popularity?
Yeah, that just goes, it gets a little pee.
So why just a little pee?
Well, because it's not like people are clamoring for this type of question necessarily. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bit of play between, like, its prevalence in the trivia community as well as the demand for it. You know what I mean? Like, game components, it's just a bit, I don't want to say it's dated, but like I said, it's a bit of a stock question. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking that, like, you know, the popularity aspect as a popular question as opposed to a popular topic, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I rate it based on, like, that's what it is. Like, do players want this, like, this kind of question a lot?
Players don't want this. Jeopardy, man, players don't want this.
I think,
this.
Yeah, that, you know, gaming is definitely, like, a sometimes requested a topic. But, again, I think this is just kind of a stock
this question. Is, like, your first... Mm-hmm. 2 months of trivia you're asking this question,
and yeah, so it gets a little lowercase I because it's kind of well-known information amongst trivia aficionados. There's no real built-in hint here. It's palindromic, but the answer that you wanted is pips, which is not palindromic. Pip would be the palindrome, and it's very rare for there, I feel, to be a dice or a die with just one pip on it. Usually there's multiple pips on each side of the die. So I don't know if I like that hint for what it is. I see what you're going for, and
could take a little rewording and it would make sense.
Yeah, it's almost too short. It just needs some beef.
Yeah,
you know, I've got beef with it. It needs more beef. I'm here to bring the beef.
So there you go.
That's it. But thank you so much, Jeopardy man, for calling in and burying the hatchet. And we look forward to your next question. And thanks again to CJ. And if you have a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
You?
It's me.
Give it to me.
Star Trek.
Mm.
Now, this is a popularly requested category, my trivia. I don't know. Do you ever get people asking you to, like, do you ever get people that are requesting categories of your trivia? Nobody ever comes up afterwards and is like, hey, how about a little bit more sports next time? They're like,
yeah, I do get that every once in a while.
Sports is always the one. It's like, we had 3 or 4 sports questions tonight, you know, but I think they want, like, all sports trivia.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is people want all sports, but no one else that likes sports wants sports.
Yeah.
It's I want all sports or I want none sports.
Yeah.
Those are pretty much the two gears.
Right. Yeah, the wrestling trivia is a good example of that, because the people that don't want wrestling trivia really don't want it.
That's me.
You know, and the people that want it really want it.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek, the category here.
I don't want Star Trek trivia, by the way.
You might know this.
Okay.
You might know this.
I might.
Despite pushback from their production company's board of directors, which comedian is responsible for funding and producing Star Trek, the original series? Despite pushback from their production company's board of directors, which comedian is responsible for funding and producing Star Trek, the original series?
I don't know this, but it'll be interesting. I mean, it's just a shot in the dark. A comedian from... whenever the original series came out, which I don't even know when that is.
No guess when the original Star Trek.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you know, 1960s.
That's right. I'll give you that.
A comedian from the 1960s. I'll guess 1960s, a comedian who likes sci-fi. Do I know any comedians who are, like, nuts about sci-fi? I'm going to say Don Rickles. I
don't know. No. That's funny, though. No.
You like that. You like flying in the sky.
Lucille Ball is the answer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she and her husband, Desi Arnaz, used proceeds from their hit sitcom, I Love Lucy, to form Desi Lou Productions, of which she took over following their divorce in 1960. The pitch for Star Trek was made to Desi Lou executives Oscar Katz and Herb Solo, who bought the idea on behalf of their employer. This spawned the creation of a pilot called The Cage, which NBC had rejected. Still, the network saw potential and ordered a second pilot to be made, which was called Where No Man Has Gone Before. A year later, Desi Lou was afraid of going over budget on three shows, the series Mission Impossible, as well as the Western series The Long Hunt of April Savage and Star Trek, and voted to cancel one of them to not go over budget. The board was almost unanimous in voting to cancel Star Trek, including Lucy's new husband, Gary Morton. But Ball, as chairwoman of the board, had the power to override the vote, which she did, saving Star Trek from cancellation. She single-handedly saved Star Trek from being canceled after its first year, or mid-production, at least in its first year. So very interesting. And also, she totally misunderstood what the show was about, thinking that it was about USO performers visiting soldiers overseas. But despite that, once she learned what was going on, she had a good feeling about it. And yeah, she was the first owner of Star Trek as a franchise.
Damn. Mm-hmm. That is interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Here's your last question.
Mm-hmm.
What popular female name was invented by writer Jonathan Swift for Esther Vanmorey, whom Swift had met in 1708 and whom he tutored? What popular female name was invented by writer Jonathan Swift for Esther Vanmorey, whom Swift had met in 1708 and whom he tutored?
Esther Vanmorey.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like a nickname that he had given her? Or
it's her a name babies? He invented by taking her, basically by making a portmanteau.
Oh, okay.
I might be giving a little bit of a hint, but I don't mind helping you out.
Esther Vanmorey. I mean, Evie. It's kind of like mashing all three together. Esther, Estelle.
It's like Babs.
Some kind of like nickname.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I'll go with Evie. I'm pretty sure that's incorrect, but I have no better guess.
Sorry, that's incorrect. He took the van from Vanmorey.
Mm-hmm.
And Essa, a pet name for people named Esther, and made the name Vanessa.
What a G. Just inventing Vanessa.
1726, the name Vanessa first appeared in print in Cadenus and Vanessa, an autobiographical poem about Swift's relationship with Vanmorey.
Just off the dome, Jonathan
Just off
Swift,
the dome. This like, motherfucker just is like, you know what? Vanessa now.
Your new name is Frenemy.
Yeah, so he came up with that. We've talked previously before, I believe, about the name Wendy. Mm-hmm. Which was invented by, or popularized at least, by...
Dave Thomas.
Nope. Do you remember who?
Oscar Wilde? No.
J.M. Barrie.
Oh, from...
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy.
Wendy.
Fascinating.
Fascinating stuff. We're learning stuff here every day, aren't we?
Yes, we are. Mark, thank you for joining me tonight.
Are you kidding me?
On this No Nonsense Trivia podcast.
The pleasure was all mine, friend.
Number 175.
Oof.
Double that, you got Tree Fitty.
Getting closer to 200.
We are close, yeah.
What are we going to do for 200?
I don't know. If you have any ideas, let us know, folks.
Yeah, what do you want?
Yep.
What do you want?
And what more do you want from us? More episodes, I take it.
Yes.
We'll be happy to provide them. And thank you for listening. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including we have a new Proverbial Lightkeeper, Proverbial Lightkeeper Rob with two B's. Robaba.
Thank you, Robaba.
Thank you, Robaba. Big thanks to our quiz daddies, Issa, Adam Volk at Esme and Red Crest Fried Chicken, Tim at Pat's Garden Service, and Tommy. Our team captains, Matt, Mo, Rick G, Skyler, Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG Aaron, David, Holbrook, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Captain Nick Williams, Kate, Rachel, Moo, Tim Gomez, aka Mappy 1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Justin, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, and Ricky F. And also, double thanks to Gil for hooking me up with that NFT tweet for the McRib.
Yeah, the best thing about that is you can just save that bad boy your phone and basically get all the glory of an NFT without any of the cost.
I don't even know what the hell it does. And thanks to our Rumpelstiltskin, Kinstillin, Sarah, Foxen5, Laurel, Aaron, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Mike C.,
Mike Curacao.
Mike J.
Mike, just direct me to the hippocampus, please. I need to check my mind palace.
And Mike K.
Mike No No.
Okay, that's a failure.
I'm sorry.
Did that catch you off guard?
I just had nothing this week for that. I'm sorry. Mike No No. There's nothing wrong with being Mike No No.
Come on.
Mike No No.
Yeah, that's weak. That's
Mikey No No.
No.
No?
No.
No No.
No No.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, which I guess isn't such a cool email address anymore, or call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, which is a pretty bad name. To join us there. Just kidding. It's a great name. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please. Until next time, no nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.
Yeah.